good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 8th November 2022. So we'll be continuing with our sharing of this Dhamma from this book. It's a Tuesday class, so we'll be following the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 388. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Amitabha Fo. Namo Amitabha Fo. Namo Amitabha Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Tichang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivadhimi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Anatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Amesu michachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, now turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We will continue our chanting from the Padipa Puja onwards. Padipa Puja, offerings of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganna sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang పూజా భజనముత్తమం వన్న గంధగుణోపేతం ఏతం కుసుమ సంతతిన్ పూజయామి మునిందాస శ్రీ పాద సరోరోహే పూజేమి బుధాం కుసుమేన పుణ్యేన మతేన చ హోతు మోక్షం పూపాం మిలయతి యతా ఇదాం మే కాయో తతాయతి వినస్సభావం ఆదివాసేతు నోబంతే పానీయం పరికాపితాం ఆనుకంపాం ఉపాదయ పాతిగాన్హాతుమోత్తమాం ఆదివాసేతు నోబంతే పాలే పరికాపితాం ఆనుకంపాం ఉపాదయ పాతిగాన్హాతుమోత్తమాం ఆదివాసేతు నోబంతే భోజనం పరికాపితాం ఆనుకంపాం ఉపాదయ పాతిగాన్హాతుమోత్తమాం. Now we will chant the puja expression based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise a needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. We will, as usual, have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So we are off the light so that you all can get ready for our half an hour awareness-based meditation. Remember to recall the four support, especially the first three. First support is to relax body and mind completely. Be at ease, and you are at ease, relaxed. There is no tension, no stress, nothing to disturb you. That's why you are at ease. Then within your physical, if there is anything bothering you, then it will create stress, especially tightness. So all this, as you meditate, you will develop the understanding. Okay. After relaxation, then you can just silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Maintain silence. When you are without thought, without verbalization and not chattering, the mind is quiet, silent, and still. So that is the awareness. When you are without thought, you are just aware. Because our mind can only do one thing at a time. Either you are in a state of awareness to be aware of what is going on, or you are preoccupied with your thinking, your thought process. So when you are preoccupied with your thinking and thought process, means you are lost in thought. You are not able to be with the moment in clear awareness to be aware of whatever that is going on within the environment, within our form and mind. And without this ability of awareness, that's why it's called awareness-based meditation, then we cannot understand what is going on. And when we cannot understand what is going on, we cannot understand who are we, what are we, and how we function as a living being. It is only through this awareness that we have the ability to observe. Through the silent awareness, observation, we come to understand clearly what this form of mind is all about, what the human being is all about, and why the Buddha said it is impermanent. When you attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it is not you, not self. So this anatta nature, which is a non-self nature, need to be realized and distinguished clearly within our own form and mind through meditation. It's only through awareness-based meditation that we can develop this understanding. That's why after you relax, second support, maintain awareness. Then the third support is to stabilize the awareness. So to stabilize the awareness, you have to maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24-hour awareness. It's aware all the time. When you are aware, automatically you are mindful. Then as you understand what this nature is, then you will know how to make use of it, to live life, to observe, to meditate, to insight in the phenomena, and to awaken, to develop the wisdom, leading to virtue, leading to understanding. All these are very important meditative understanding or meditative answers to what we need to understand and know. Then finally, after we have this ability to stabilize this awareness within, then we will come to understand clearly what the thinking mind is. And when the thinking mind stops or ceases to move, then you will come to realize the clear awareness nature within. That is our true mind, our silent mind. When you are without thought, this true mind can be realized, can be like, you can develop the awareness of it. Means the awareness and that thing become one. And when you are with that, the movement that come out of there is the thinking mind, the mundane mind. The dependent originating mind, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. This is the creative process, creation from that nature. All things arise, all phenomena arise, may be mental or physical or nature's phenomena, they all arise. So meditation is to develop the inner awareness to understand all this movement and to understand clearly who are we, what are we, and how we function as a human being. And through this understanding, we will break free from sakkayadity, self-delusion. We will break free from grasping, clinging, and holding on to this fine aggregate of form and mind, which is not a permanent changing entity. Not me, not I, not what you think. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Continue to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner peace, and inner calmness that you have developed. Because these are your meditative mind states that you need to use to live your life, to develop the daily mindfulness in the midst of life. So meditation is not only about formal meditation. Formal meditation is useful, essential, but it's not all of meditation. The real meditation only starts when we are able to develop mindfulness leading to its stability, transforming into heedfulness. To be able to be heedful in the midst of life means ever mindful, constantly meditative, then only the real meditation begins. You only can develop the wisdom, the understanding, and the awakening when your daily mindfulness has stabilized, when you are able to be mindful in the midst of life, and your mind is always aware most of the time. You only allow the thought to arise when you need to live life, to develop the understanding of life, and to interact with people, to communicate with people, to manifest as a living being so that we can develop the understanding of what life is, what true living is. And the two aspects of Dhamma is very important. Whatever Dhamma we develop, whatever wisdom we develop, virtue and understanding that we develop through learning the teaching, the meditation, it must be applicable to life. If it's not applicable to life, then it's not the living Dhamma. So the living Dhamma is to allow the living being to develop this understanding, to live life. So the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factors, they are very important. Without this embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot become an Arya. You can only become an Arya, an enlightened being, when you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. Means you are very noble in all aspects of life, in your understanding of life, in the way you conduct yourself, in the way you communicate with people and all those things. So this is a very important understanding. Hopefully with this, Kayamita can develop better and better understanding of what this so-called Buddhist teaching is all about, what the Buddha Dharma is all about, and what meditation is all about. Okay, now we will continue with our chanting on the invocation to the devas. Then to page 6 of the chanting book, we will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas in this universe, in the entirety. Let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakravalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sumantu sakkamokkhadang. Dhammo savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammo savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammo savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Ittipiso bhagava arahaṃ sammasambuddho. Bija charanam sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam buddho bhagavati. Svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pacyatam veditabo vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasango nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango samicipatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Yadidam chatari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anotara punyam ketam loka sati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can continue with our sharing. We are at page 388 of this hard copy, volume 3, chapter 2 of the Dharma Flower, the wonderful Dharma Flower, Lotus Sutra. So this one is written by Master Shen Hua, the commentaries. So chapter 2, the subheading is expedient devices. Okay, I will continue from where we stop. So the sutta say, I tell the assembly of hearers, meaning the Buddha previously taught the Dhamma Dao of the four holy truths to the sound hearers. Then the next part of the sutta say, and those who seek the conditioned enlightened vehicle, means apart from the sainthood way, he also taught those that who seek the conditioned enlightened one, means the Pachika Buddhas. So the Pachika Buddhas, according to the teachings, the Buddha also taught the Dhamma to the Pachika Buddhas. The Dhamma he taught them is the 12 conditioned forces. It is the 12 link, Paticca Dhammapada. Sorry, Paticca Samuppada, not Dhammapada, Samuppada. So the 12 causes and condition, or the 12 link, we normally call it the 12 link. Xinhua call it the 12 causes and condition. It's actually the 12 link, the law of dependent origination. Means dependent on certain causes and condition, things arise, or phenomena arise. So we have this cause and effect, cause and effect. Law of conditionality. So those who awaken to understanding these 12 links are called the conditioned enlightened ones. They are mainly called the Pachika Buddhas. Or sometimes in the Theravada tradition, they call them the Silent Buddha. Then the next part of the sutta says that I will lead them to cast off sufferings born, means whatever suffering, the sainthood way and the Pachika Buddha's vehicle, they can realize enlightenment to free. So here is explaining the commentary by Master Shenhua Ivory 2. With his compassionate heart, the Buddha wants to cause all living beings to separate from suffering, means to liberate their mind, to free their mind from all suffering and attain bliss, means to end birth and death. They must understand that impermanence comes quickly. If you do not cultivate, but insist, wait a minute, slowly, slowly, you have best be informed that the ghost of impermanence is not polite. When the time comes for him to take you to see King Yama, he will not show you the slightest bit of courtesy. You try to buy him off to keep away for a while and let you live for a few more years, you cannot do it. The ghost of impermanence does not take bribes. So this is Shenhua's way of putting it. In a way is to develop humor in his sharing. He's not like those pardon, Shenhua also saying that like the greedy politicians. In the world with money, you can do the impossible. You break the law, you have the cash, then you did not break the law. But the ghost of impermanence has no greed for such money in this regard. Money means nothing to them. Then the next part of the sutta is, and arrive at nirvana, means to realize nirvana, to arrive at the position of no production and no extinction. Actually, this is a direct English translation of the Mandarin. But the actual Mandarin description is better. You have to realize the state of the unconditioned, is bu sen, bu mie. So here, sen is production. They translate it literally, and mie is extinction. Actually, the English word is not that appropriate. Extinction, the English dictionary got another meaning. Means like that particular animal, or that particular fish, or that particular being is no more in existence. They say extinct. But mere is actually cessation. It's mere. Finished. Gone. No more. Sun is the arising. So arriving at the unconditioned should be a better word. Where there is no arising and no ceasing. Pu sun, pu mie. So those who depend on English to understand, you have to be careful about these two words. Because it comes from the Mandarin word, pu sun, pu mie. Means no arising and no ceasing. Means the unconditioned. The unconditioned got no arising and no ceasing, no manifestation at all. Then the next part of the sutta said the Buddha uses the power of experience, meaning the Buddha uses the expedient way, the Dhamma of the three vehicle, means the sound hearer, or the sainthood way, the conditioned enlightened ones, the Pachika Buddha's dwelling or conditioned arising teachings, and finally the Bodhisattva way leading to Buddhahood. So these are the three vehicles, expedient way. Then the next part of the sutta says demonstrating the teachings of the three vehicles, meaning he instructs living beings according to their capacity to understand, to learn the three vehicle way basing on what is appropriate. So all these three vehicles finally lead to the ultimate one Buddha vehicle. That's why it's mentioned he instructs the three vehicles for the sake of the one Buddha vehicle. So at the very end, the Buddha speaks the Dhamma of one Buddha vehicle, the Dhamma door of real wisdom, means the Bodhisattva way leading to Sammasambuddhahood. Or full enlightenment. Next part of the sutta says, so that living beings attached in many places may be guided to escape. Meaning, living beings, wherever they happen to be, they get attached to just those places. They get attached to whatever position they happen to be in. Fathers are attached to the title, I'm the father. They think that way, and you are my children. That's why they become attached. And elder brothers try to control their younger brothers. Why? It's because they are attached. They think I'm the elder one, and you are the younger one. You should listen to me. Husbands stand on the husband platform, and wives stand on the wife's platform. Monks even stand on the monk's platform. The novice stand on the novice platform. Then they will say, look at me. They think I have left the home life, and you haven't. That is an attachment. So this is Shenhua's way of putting it. People with learnings are attached to learning. So this one is sometimes quite true. Take for example, the professors. He say, I'm a professor and you are only a student. I should be your teacher. That's also an attachment. Student have student attachment. I'm a student. If I don't know something, it's no problem. However, since you are my teacher, if I ask you a question, you had better be able to answer it. However, in American university, if the student asks a question and the professor cannot answer it, he just let it go by. He has not broken any law. In general, however, you have an attachment to whatever you do. In the hell, there are hellish attachments. Among the animals, there are beastly attachment. Among people, there are attachment related to human beings. Among the ghosts, there are ghostly attachment. That's why the text says attachment can take place in many places. This is very true. As long as you are within the 31 plane of existence, it means you have not liberated your mind and free your mind. You have attachment. You bound to have attachment. Unless they are enlightened within that realm, then that wisdom can free them, can bring forth the causes and conditions for them to have the wisdom so that they are not deceived or deluded by the phenomenal world of form and mind, by the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. So these are possible. Otherwise, all living beings who are not enlightened, who do not have the Dhamma understanding, they were deludedly attached and cling. And I read on. No matter where you are, no matter what role you occupy, you will have precisely that particular attachment. In a family, the elder and the younger brothers and sisters, and the father and the mother and the grandparents, all of them have their attachment. In the country or in the county government, I am the mayor and I have to manage the officials. You have to listen to my orders. If you do not listen, I'm going to make it hard for you. I will get in your way and give you a tough time. These are all attachment. The Buddha Dharma was spoken just in order to break the attachment of living beings. Once the attachment had been destroyed or severed, that's it. You have no attachment, then the Buddha Dharma is also ended. It no longer exists. Why does the Buddha Dharma exist? It is just because you are attached. Without attachment, there is no need for Buddha Dharma. The Buddha Dharma is for people with attachment. When living beings no longer have attachment, the Buddha Dharma is no longer of any use. Looking at it that way, it would be best if living beings have a few more attachments. The way the Buddha Dharma would be of some use, otherwise the Buddha Dharma would have to retire. But I have to maybe comment a bit. This is Shen Hua's way of putting it. But if you have the true understanding, it is slightly different. Buddha Dharma is always useful because Buddha Dharma is not just to let you develop the wisdom and liberate your mind that you can forget about the Buddha Dharma. No, even enlightened beings, after they have become enlightened, they still need the understanding of this Dhamma to enable them to live life. That's why the day I share with you all the quote that Miss Lee and Mimi, they all offered to me during my birthday or gathering of Kayamita. That one is very good. So I have it on the whiteboard. So there is a Dhamma wheel there on the poster. Then what Miss Lee was able to gather from what I share was very good. She developed this quote, the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma must complement each other to enable one to understand truth, reality, and living. So, quote by Brother Teo. Ah, yes. So now you can see that. The conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma both must be understood so that you can make use of it to live life, to understand life. That's why the quote here is the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma must be understood so that they complement each other to enable one to understand life, to understand truth, reality, and living. So the quote by Bertil. So this one is very good. So what Master Chen Hua just now shared, is slightly different, may not be the actual. Because it doesn't mean that when you have already developed the wisdom, then the Buddha Dharma has got no more use, does not serve the living being anymore. That one is not correct in that sense. So we go back to the sharing so that you all can develop the understanding. So bear in mind, don't just take whatever that is being shared by Chen Hua. So there is one last paragraph. The Buddha teaches living beings how to escape from their sufferings, to become unattached. Without attachment, everybody will be happy and blissful. So again, this is what Master Chen Hua's understanding is and how he describes it. But in actual fact, the Buddha teaches living beings how to develop wisdom, not just to escape from their attachment. How to develop wisdom so that you understand life, so that you are not deludedly trapped, which Chen Hua used the word attached to. Means do not be deceived by what the conditioned world is, because the conditioned world has its conditionedness, which we have to understand. And these are nature's law that governs life and existence. Then the unconditioned has its unconditioned Dhamma, which can allow us to liberate from the delusion created by the conditioned world. Especially Sakkāditti, self-delusion. That's why if you cannot realize impermanent, the universal characteristics of impermanent, then you cannot understand non-self or Sakkāditti, self-delusion. And all these are linked, connected. That's why the universal characteristics of Anicca, Dukkha, and Anatta, the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self or empty nature or existence, are very important insight or understanding that need to be realized and penetrated. If you can insight into phenomena and awaken the three universal characteristics, then your wisdom will arise. And with that wisdom, you will not be deluded or deceived by the phenomenal world of form and mind. Then everything that arises, you will have the understanding is not what you think. They are not real. They are all empty, not what you think. Ultimately, he know you, he know me. All this are for the conditioned world, because reality, living, life, Dhamma, existence, all this pertain to the conditioned world. So the conditioned world has its conditioned Dhamma and its reality, and it need to be understood. Even the form and mind need to be understood. That's why the understanding or cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma is not that straightforward and simple. It's because of that. Because there is this conditioned Dhamma and unconditioned Dhamma. You way far, way far. You cannot develop the clear understanding of these two sets of Dhamma. You cannot penetrate the teaching. You cannot awaken. And to awaken, you have to realize both this conditioned Dhamma and unconditioned Dhamma wisdom. Okay, we'll continue from where we stopped. Okay, we finished the first part. Then now we go on to the next part of the sutta. At that time in the assembly, there were some hearers, means sainthood, enlightened beings. Some hearers means the Sotapanna, the Sakadagami, the Anagami, and the Arahats. So there are some hearers, Arahats, with outflows extinguished. Then Anatta Kondanya and others. Kondanya is the five ascetic, one of the five ascetic, the youngest, the one that become so realized Sotapannaship when the Buddha was actually expounding the first Dhammacakkappavattana sermon, the first sermon, which is Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Before he finished, Kondanya became a Sotapanna. Then, of course, according to the sutta, there are 1,200 arahants, as well as bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, upasakas, and upasikas who have brought forth the resolve to become sound hearers and Pachika Buddhas. They all had the following thought. Why now does the all-honored one repeatedly praise the expedient deviser, saying, the Dhamma obtained by the Buddha is so extremely profound and difficult to understand, and the purport of his speech is so difficult to know, that none of the sound hearer or Pachika Buddhas can grasp it, which is very true. The Buddha has spoken of but one principle of liberation, and we have already obtained this Dhamma and arrived at Nirvana. Now we do not understand his intention. So that was what the assembly's talk was all about. So the summary of this sutta is questioning or doubt arising from the assembly. Here the English is not so proper. Questioning arises from the doubts. The doubts are presented to Sakyamuni Buddha. Then the passage added by Sutra compiler by way of introduction. Okay, we go to the commentaries. Okay, the commentary by Master Shenhua. The sutta say at that time in the assembly, meaning when Sakyamuni Buddha has finished speaking the verses, is this wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. I read again. At that time in the assembly, means when Sakyamuni Buddha had finished speaking the verses, this passage of the text was added when the sutta was compiled by the Venerable Ananda. Ananda said, at that time in the assembly, there were sound hearers, a vast number of those who have cultivated the Four Noble Truths and awakened to the way. They awakened, or they awoke to the way upon hearing the Buddha's Dhamma. And so their vehicle are called the sound hearers. Then the next part of the sutta is Arahants with outflow extinguished. Outflow extinguished means their outflow has been exhausted. The exhaustion or outflow is called the penetration of the exhaustion of outflow. Obtaining this penetration is a state of non-outflow, which means the absence of ignorance and affliction, as well as the absence of all the bad habits and fall. So this one I have to explain a bit. Here, outflow means no more ignorant, no more avijja, means upon death, the arahant got no more rebirth consciousness born of avijja to take rebirth. That's why that one sees. That's why they call it without outflow. Then there is also another term to describe this. They usually call it the exhaustion of the outflow of the segmented body. Means every birth you come, that is one segment of your existence. So the outflow of rebirth of the next segmented body is normal. That one sees. Yeah. But for normal Arahant, their thought, they still have their stream of thought process. Means the mundane mind still exists. The outflow of thought is still there. That one haven't ceased. That's why we need to develop the understanding. Yeah. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Yeah. The next paragraph. The present or outflow may be likened to a bottle with a hole in it. You can keep pouring water in it, but it all runs out. People's body have many outflow, but now their outflow have been exhausted. All outflow has been ended, and the penetration of the exhaustion or outflow has been attained. So this one is to use to describe the arahants. So arahats is a Sanskrit word. That means worthy of offering without birth, and the slayer of should be defilement. They put here thieves. So arahan is the Pali word. The Sanskrit word is arhat. And in Mahayana, they call it alohan. Alohan. That's why in the Maya temple, you used to see the 18 arhats, the famous 18. Then certain monastery in China, which we visited before, they normally had the whole hall filled with 500 arhats. So that one is also quite popular. Wu Pai Lohan, Sapa Lohan, Wu Pai Lohan. And we move on here. At that time, among the arahants, there was an elder by the name of Anyata Kondanya. This spelling is also in Sanskrit, which means understanding the basic limit or the first to understand. That's why he was the first to become enlightened. After Sakyamuni realized Buddhahood, he first went to the deer park to take Anyata Kondanya across, because in a former life, Anyata Kondanya was the king of Kalinga. Sakyamuni Buddha made a vow that when he became a Buddha, the first person he would save would be the one who had cut his flesh from his body, means every limbs. Therefore, after he became a Buddha, he first went to the deer park to take the five ascetic across. That is why Kondanya means the first to understand. He was the first to certify to the fruits. They are not around him. Sotapanna shape. First sainthood, first stage of sainthood, Sotapanna shape. Understanding the original limit means that he understood his fundamental nature. This one I have to explain a bit. Actually, there was a Jataka story which Sakyamuni Buddha shared. It was in one of these early former lives where Sakyamuni Buddha was actually cultivating the perfection, the 10 perfection. So when he was cultivating this very special perfection of patient Kanti, so he was an ascetic at that time. Then this king of Kalinga, which was the previous life, Kondanya's previous life as a king. So he was with his, I think, army and his concubine or thing. So when they went for the hunting and all those things, the concubine were left alone. Then they were having fun and play around. There's somebody located is ecstatic. Then at first they were fearful of him. But later on, because of the Bodhisattva's good nature, very compassionate and loving and understanding nature, they start to develop more confidence in him and no longer fear him. Then they start to talk to him and ask him a lot of questions, like, what are you doing here, and all those things. So Sakyamuni Buddha explained to them, he said, I have been cultivating his perfection of patience, Gandhi, for very long. So this is my final test, is the final birth where this perfection will be tested. And they say, what you mean? He said, whatever you do to me, I will not develop the anger or the unhappiness or complain and all those things. Then they try a lot of means to make him angry, unhappy. But he become more and more loving, more and more compassionate, more and more cheerful. That's why the crowd grew more and more and more. Then when the king came back from the hunting, he realized all his concubines were gone. So he was very unhappy. He said, where did they go? Then the general, I think, went and checked. They came back and told the king what happened. Then the king went to go and check it out for himself. That's how he went. Then he was listening. Then he thought of a brilliant idea. He thought, this ascetic maybe try to claim that he cultivate patience. I'm going to test him and make sure he cannot pass. So when he confronted the ascetic, which was Bodhisattva at that time, he spoke loud with authority to him. I heard you are cultivating the perfection of patience. And you can be very, very patient. Nothing in this world can make you unhappy or angry. So the king say, is that true? Then the Bodhisattva replied, yeah, yes. He said, I don't believe you. Yeah. He said, I'm going to prove it to you that you are not what you think. So what he did was he instructed his men, tie up the four limbs, one to each horse. Then he asked them to tear the four limbs apart. And they really did it. But Sakyamuni Buddha, before he allowed them to do it, he told the king. He said, yes, you can do it. He said, yeah. If what I said is the truth, if what I have perfected is what I have perfected, what will happen is the four limbs will come back to me. Yeah. So when that incident happened, immediately after they tore the four limbs apart, miraculously the four limbs came back to the body, and as if nothing happened, the king panicked actually. He realized he has done something very wrong. Immediately came down from the horse and asked for forgiveness. Then Sakyamuni Buddha laughed. At that time, he was not Sakyamuni Buddha, the Bodhisattva. He said, don't worry, don't worry. I have made a vow. Whoever who create the condition for me to be tested and for me to develop this perfection of Kanti, I vow to take him across. He will be the first to be taken across. And I realize Samasambuddhahood, and I take birth to become a Samasambuddha. And that was the vow. That was the condition that brings about the possibility of why Kondanya will be born accordingly. And was one of the five ascetics. And he went there to teach them the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So that was what the Jataka story was all about. So it's not just the summarized way that Shenhua mentioned. Eh? So hopefully, Kayamitas can have better understanding. Eh? Okay, we continue with the sharing. And the next part of the sutta. And others, 1200 person, meaning Kondanya had 1200 people with him. The next part of the sutta, as well as bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, upasakas, upasikas, who had brought forth the resolve to become sound hearer or saint, cultivate the sainthood way and Pacheka Buddhas. There was another group that had resolved to seek the vehicle of the sound hearer and conditioned enlightened one. As had been related many times before, the word bhikkhus had three meanings. First meaning is mendicant, frightener of Mara, and destroyer of evil. A bhikkhuni is a woman who had left the home life and had the same three meanings applied. An upasaka is a man closely related in affairs of the Sangha, and Upasika is a woman closely related in affair to the Sangha. This means they are lay people who draw near the Triple Gem. So these are normally under the Theravada tradition we call the 10 preceptors. They only keep the 10 precepts, but they actually help the monks, the bhikkhus and the bhikkhuni actually. Some of them are kapyas, serve them. Some help in the kitchen and all the other sangha-related duties. Okay, then we move on. Who all had the following thought, means the sutta said they all have the following thought, means the doubt. Each of them had this thought. What do they think? Why now? Does the world-honored one, Sakyamuni Buddha, repeatedly praise the expedient devices? He praised it again and again. The term here rendered repeatedly usually means diligently. Here, however, it means that the Buddha is not lazy in speaking the sutta. He speaks it once and yet again. And that's why I sometimes you all say I keep on repeating. Huh? It's the same. And praises it once and yet again. First, he praises it in prose, and then he repeated his praise in verses. And when he spoke the doctrine, he took it very seriously. He is not the least bit of sloppy. Because it is very important and it is to be feared that living being will not pay attention unless he very seriously praises the expedient device and does so repeatedly. Buddha Dharma is such, it's not easy to comprehend. That's why sometimes you need to continuously share the same thing but from different approach. Of course, your meeting is repeated. No, it's not repeated. It's the similar Dhamma expressed in different way. The similar Dhamma expressed in different way. The sharing, keep it. The similar Dhamma expressed in different way. So it is actually not repeated, but it's approached from many different ways or processing condition. But the essential Dhamma are still the same. It's just like what I share in the early days at Sri Ann's house, the Thursday class. You look at the whiteboard for so many years, we have the same thing. The three evil roots, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculties, and the few essential Dhamma of dana, sila, brahmana, and what constitute wrong thought and all this thing. So to people, it's like keep on evolving around all these few essential dhamma, but they are approached from different causes and conditions, and example, so that the meaning can stand out, because it is only used once. It's very difficult for normal people to grasp the meaning, to have the understanding. Okay, so this is why it has to be continuously shared. I call it continuously shared, not repeated. Okay, the next part of the sutta saying the Dhamma obtained by the Buddha means the Dhamma which Sakyamuni Buddha had realized. The word should be realized. It's so extremely profound and difficult to comprehend. Meaning no one can actually comprehend its deep meaning. Thus it is hard to develop understanding. And the purport of his speech is so difficult to understand that none of the sound hearer or particular Buddha can grasp it. Means those of the two vehicles, the sainthood way and the particular Buddha, they cannot understand the true principles of the profound Dhamma, means the ultimate vehicle that the Buddha has realized. Okay, I think we have to stop here for toilet break. Okay, I'll mark this page. Okay, we are at page 392, so we stop here. Okay, so we'll now continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, Q&A. You can ask me whatever you want to develop understanding on meditation, on the teaching, or how to apply these teachings so that it can help you understand life, live life, and solve your whatever problem that you encounter while living life.
Don't have anything to discuss.
Okay. Then meditation reporting, you want to report any or ask any question?
No, nothing to ask. The meditation is still the same. No improvement.
You can describe how you develop the meditation, then maybe we can use that as a sharing topic. You want to describe the last half an hour, the starting, where we have the awareness-based meditation? Just describe how you develop it and how you experience it.
The usual normally is to relax.
Ah, good. Are you able to develop the relaxation now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's whenever good. I relax,
sleep.
Then I will
doze off.
the energy comes.
Oh, then you are not dozing off. The energy comes because you train yourself in that way. So what is important is when the energy comes, what must you do? Remember?
I just watch it.
Oh, no, not watch it. Remember at the retreat, Manyuan missed that step. Relax into it. You must relax into it. The energy will build up on whenever there is tension, tightness, or stress within, or for your case, because you have this tendency of building up energy because you have certain type of training before. So when energy build up, it's just like any mind state that arise, relax into it. Mind state means when you focus or concentrate, or without you knowing it, the energy build up means you must have done something, otherwise it won't build up one. Normal people relax, maintain awareness. So the four support the first three, you manage to do one, then the second one, away, you can't because your energy straight away build up. So what happened is when energy build up, you must relax into it. Whatever mind state that arise, relax into it. Any tension, any stress, or any tightness within your physical body, relax into it. Then whatever that arise within your form and mind, also relax into it. If you feel any tightness anywhere, any tension or what, just relax into it, aware and relax into it. You try it; it will help you a lot. Otherwise, the energy won't go on. Because when you watch, it's actually your thought actively watching. It's not the awareness. You're supposed to be just aware and relax into it. Can follow? Yinjia?
Yeah, no, the I don't know what's your relax into it, but I when once I relax, there's a lot of energy, and then after that, after a while, it goes off.
Okay, if after it goes off, what happened?
Then I just will be feeling my breathing,
Okay.
or the heartbeat.
You can feel the heartbeat?
Can
Good. Then
depends
stay
on
there.
how I.
No, let's stay there. Stay there. Just stay there. Don't do anything. Just away. Away. Then find out what will happen. Don't go around. Go around means the thought is taking you on a merry-go-round. So when you are at the Anapanasati, mindful of the breathing, just stay there. Then after that, if it fall to the heartbeat, stay at the heartbeat. Understand? These are the more refined instruction. Then when you stay at the heartbeat, no wonder you say every time the same as usual. Means you have been repeating all this without further investigation and understanding. For you to develop the improvement or the what they call more refined stability of the awareness, you need to actually develop the clear understanding of what meditation is. Because the purpose and intent of awareness-based meditation is to develop this awareness. So that is our focus. So to develop that, you need to have the four support to help you. Otherwise, the thought will come in. So for the thought not to come in, you have to relax first. When you relax, there is no thinking on. You just relax. Assume your body is dead. You are not in control. Then just let it be. Then it will settle down. It will slow down. Energy arise also, just relax into it. Then maintain awareness. Just let things be. Then you will not build up. But if you go and focus and give meaning to it and try to like play with it, then the thought come in. Then the mind, which is the mundane mind, become active again. And that mind, wherever you locate it, energy will build up. That's why when you are at the Anapanasati also, if you are not doing the Anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath, the energy will build up and it will become absorption, strong energy around the area where you focus your nostril there. Then later on, when the subtle breathing also same, that's why that time you need to relax. Relax until the breathing like become very subtle, until like hardly any breathing, then you stay there. Then the mind enters sati. You must develop it until the mind enters sati. That's why just now, even when you say you can feel your heartbeat, I say it's good, which is correct. You stay there. Stay there until the heartbeat also like no more. Means the mind has got no dwelling. It doesn't hold on to anything, but there is no phenomena for you to be aware already. So that mind become naturally still away. That is your true mind. You have to realize that, then stabilize that. And most people can't do that because when they reach the subtle breathing or subtle, what they call heartbeat, or even the rising and falling, when they reach the state of subtleness, they don't know what to do. Then they revert to verbalization, sitting, touching, all those things. You do that, the thought will come in again. Then you cannot develop the more refined awareness. To develop the more refined awareness, you must not do anything after that. That's why I say, don't try to know, don't try to do, just maintain awareness, silent. Until the object of meditation also, or whatever that you place your awareness on, that thing become very subtle, like no more movement. And then only the mind can enter sati. Mind enter sati means that mind, which is just awareness, has the ability to stabilize itself. Means you continue to be aware at that area where you stop receiving any object of meditation. Means you got nothing to hold on to. Means the mind has no dwelling. Means it doesn't dwell. But it can be anywhere. So stay there. When you stay there long enough, then your mind will enter sati and become more refined. Means the mindfulness awareness become more refined. And that is your true mind. Then from there on, it become very sensitive. Wherever you locate it, it can like magnify that area and make you aware. Your slightest movement, the awareness is there. Then the mind become like aware of everything you do, and everything become like magnified. So all your movement is like magnified. Then when you come out of it, it's like your kaya movement activity, the awareness and the thing move as one, but it's continuous, magnified. You have to reach that stability, and then your progress will come. You will become very different. Then after that, the awareness that is so refined can see things as they are, can insight into phenomena, can develop the daily mindfulness, everything. Then you become very different. After that, everything you do is in sati. Your seeing is in sati. Your hearing is in sati. Your smell, your taste, your tactile, and your movement. Everything is in sati. That is the stage you must develop. Okay, Yinjan?
Okay. Okay, thank you. I
Okay, then
haven't
you
come to
can.
that state yet.
Don't
Okay,
worry, you do it slowly, then you can come to that stage. Good
thank
evening,
you.
Rachel. Yeah.
Mrs. Teo and all calamitous. Actually, I was just thinking when you were talking about how Manyen
At the retreat,
at the retreat. So I
break
was
free.
thinking maybe we let Sister Manyen report first, like what has she been doing based on that experience? Then maybe after that, I will take over and
Continue.
continue. Yeah.
Okay.
PG, can you elaborate what you mean?
I elaborate for you better, huh? What PG wants to develop further understanding is it based on the retreat, like I mentioned just now to Yun Chan, because they're very important step which you last time missed, because you saw what I wrote on the whiteboard. Relax into every mind state that arise. That enable you to transform your meditation, means completely. And you find that with that step, additional step of relaxation, whenever energy build up or mind state that arise, when you relax into it, you become peaceful, quiet, aware. Then you can meditate longer. Like you mentioned at the retreat, not only 30 minutes, 45 minutes, sometimes 1 hour. Then the whole experience of that meditation become different. So PG wants to understand is after that, after you come back from the retreat, can you describe further how it has helped you or benefited you in your development of the awareness-based meditation? Okay, Maya?
Okay, I have to admit that after I came back, I didn't really consistently do formal meditation.
Oh, no wonder. Never mind, it's okay.
But I remember when I was in Cameron Highlands that time, when I tried to meditate, and then I couldn't. I got up and I looked at the board. Then I suddenly realized that I couldn't really do it at that time because that there was some thinking, like, you know, thinking like looking for something when I was meditating.
The thought is active here.
Like trying to that means I to my to me, I was relaxing, I was lying down, but yet after a long time, nothing happened. So there was some like waiting and looking forward to something, but it didn't happen. So when I woke up and looked at the board, I realized that thinking of wanting to see what happened next.
Yeah, experience. One thing, the experience.
That hindered me. So then after that, I relaxed. Not maybe when I say relax into it, like Brother Dio always say, people may not understand what it means. It's
okay.
Like I don't care. I don't look forward to what will happen anymore.
Don't try to know.
That also don't try to know. Also, I didn't really understand. But I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't look forward anymore.
Correct.
And then I just like that. And then after that, the meditation changed. But I noticed when I came back and I like maybe tried to copycat again, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But then I also realized like sometimes during my daily life, I can like suddenly understand things better.
After the experience, you will have the ability. Yes.
But still sometimes get agitated.
Oh, no problem. That is your habitual tendency, not completely rooted out yet.
But I know
immediately
that
after that, you will like be aware already that this thing is still going on. Then you know what to do on. So that is what the training is all about, to be aware, to understand what is going on within your own form and mind, so that you are not continuously led by the thought, caught by the thought, deceived by the thought process. So that your stirring of the mind, reaction of the mind, the agitation, you are now able to be aware of them. Then you know what to do. You do not, like last time, become more angry, more agitated, and allow it to draw you, like the cow with the rope on the nostril. That one no more. So that is what you will go through. That's why you say you are able to understand things better, faster.
True, right? You're like I realized that then I stopped doing it, lah. I stopped letting it leading me on and on.
Correct, yes.
Then I remember that day I said I wanted to share with you. I went to Ipoh, right?
Ipoh,
I went to Ipoh. Actually, I went with my family.
So you sent me the photos. They were quite beautiful.
We went to the caves, the temple caves, like Perak Cave. And then Huanyin Cave. A few of them, so I mixed up which one is which one. But there was one point, at the first cave I went inside, So I feel very happy, like seeing old friends like
The joy, the joy, yeah.
The joy, really, really joyful. And then suddenly I felt a lot of vibration.
Oh, so do. You're more sensitive already. The energy there.
Very nice. All over the body.
Yeah, so do.
But then I noticed that the moment I start to talk to my parents or
then
I
gone.
gone.
That is gone. Yes, that's why you have to silent. In order to draw and tap and to have the awareness to feel, you have to silent. That's it.
Rather, then after that, I thought maybe, maybe coincidence. Why like that? Right. Then I went to a second cave. Also same thing. That means at the moment I talk, walk, then no more already. Then very funny. The second day, because it was a very short trip, but only 2 days. The second day, we were going somewhere else. And then on the way, I suddenly noticed another cave temple, you know. That means we didn't plan to go there, but I noticed it. Then I said, hey, there's another one there. Let's go there. We drove in. We drove in. I realized that it's not a Buddhist temple, you know. It is also a cave, but it's more to Chinese temple or Taoist one. When we went in, then I said, okay, I silent again. I feel nothing.
No problem.
No vibration. Then my father said, this is not a Buddhist temple. But I also know that because I didn't see any Buddha or Buddhist. But he told me that, this is Chinese culture and this
tradition,
Chinese
tradition.
Have influenced the way of living for a lot of the Chinese for generations. So I also saw one, like those. There was one guy there, like wearing those Taoist cap.
Yeah.
The thing is that I tried to silence, but I didn't feel anything this time.
Yeah, that's why you can actually detect if there is or there is none, which is very good.
But then back in the hotel, because the hotel was surrounded by mountains also lah. And in the morning, the mosque was, they blaring the prayers. I can feel the vibration there when they were the mosque.
Yeah,
they
doing the prayer. The morning
so,
prayer.
And it sound very nice.
Oh, it is good. The vibration is soothing to you.
So that this is my and another thing. My mother, when she was there, she told me that, after the cave's temple, she told me that she can walk like before she fell down.
Very good.
Was very good. It was like usual, she told me. Then
like she recovered, more energy.
That's what she told me.
That cave got its energy, its vibration, which are good.
So that's what I wanted to share, because
okay, sadhu. Okay, thank you, sadhu. PJ, now back to you.
Thanks, Manian, for sharing. What I want to pick up from there is, after Chin Hao's sharing last week, I also had a short discussion with Sister Po Cheng, on how many of us are still, I will use the word stuck,
and
at our meditation, which, as you can hear, that is happening to a few of us. What Sister Po Ching stressed was just like when she started off. She started off with Anapanasati.
Yeah.
And she says she spent quite a lot of time to do it diligently until she breaks through.
Yes.
I think a lot of us have to take heed of that. And
it's very good advice. Yes.
And not to be too anxious about
progress
itself. Just continue to do it.
Must be patient.
She was talking about patience and endurance.
Endurance. Yeah. Perseverance.
We are walking this path for many lifetimes, and probably have been doing it for probably aeons and aeons us to come together as a group. So with this, I think, how to say it? Just be patient. That's all I can say about it, relative. I mean, many of us have been doing it year after year, wondering what is happening.
Actually, patience is very important. Don't give up. Persevere. That's why I use the word persevere. Sincerity, faith, and perseverance. When you have the faith, you will persevere. When you persevere, means you have understanding. You are very patient because you know this one need time or need what they call
conditions to,
for condition to arise is correct, but you need to be diligently cultivating it. It's a full-time job. Like the Buddha said, you need to be ever mindful, heedful, constantly meditative. So you haven't even tried the stability or heedfulness, how can you expect result to arise? Unless your past is very special, very unique, then suddenly it happens. For Maya's case, the retreat condition were very conducive, and she was able to actually benefit from it. But that itself is enough to make her sensitive to the extent that right now she realized she can understand things better, she can detect energy, she can know things are happening. Then whether the energy is wholesome or unwholesome, she knows, because there is joy when it's wholesome. Then the mother also can feel it. Where the mother fell and the ability to walk was not normal anymore. But when she was there, she said, she told Manuel, it's like she recovered before she had the fall, the problem. So a lot of these things, you have the sensitivity, the mindfulness, the awareness, you can actually develop understanding of it. Then you are sensitive to energy, sensitive to wholesome state, then sensitive to, of course, unwholesome state too. But then when there is nothing, you also know it's nothing. That's why people who cultivate all the way, they can actually detect all this. So when you detect cultivator around you, it's like you go to a cave. It's the same. That's why a lot of people also used to, especially Kayamita, used to share with me when they come to my house. They can meditate easily, better, and they feel more composed and calm when they are here. Because the energy, the vibration within this place, which I've been staying in for so long, is different. Then, of course, Kayamita also come for the classes. Then some of our statue, they also have the crystal to store all this wisdom energy, wholesome energy, and what they call vibration that can actually help people settle down and develop the understanding. So all this, if you really diligently cultivate, persevere, you can sense it. You can detect it, which is very true. And even at Tsongpo Temple, I think a lot of us can develop the ability to know that that place is different. When you are there, a lot of things happen, and you can settle down easily, your mind calm down easily, you can compose easily. But diligence is very important. Faith, sadha, virya, and diligence. Yeah, you continue.
Yeah, Brother Teo. Yeah. A lot of times we hear your words, Brother Teo, is like, we are so used to it, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Sometimes it maybe lose its, I wouldn't say lose its meaning. It loses its, how do you say it? The impact itself.
Ah, the impact.
Yeah,
yeah, the impact, yeah, the impact.
I was trying to do some short videos, and that in that time, I really pay attention.
And, that one will help you a lot.
And your words really come across strongly.
Yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And sometimes I go like, wow, why didn't I hear this?
Yeah, when you are attentive, especially doing the short video or the transcript, the word become different. It stand out. Well, that time you are paying attention with the faith. You listen attentively. That's why listening attentively is not like normal listening. Well, most people, I realize, unless you have that faith very strong, even at a retreat, you cannot pay attention much on. But like Bojang, the faith very strong, he can pay attention. Very, very stable in her ability. Then when she listened to the recording, she really listened. That's why the word goes in. Yeah. Then she just follow the instruction. That's why she can progress very fast. And she just do follow every instruction that is given. Then when the causes and conditions arise, that's why she said, you must do until there is a breakthrough, which is very true. Like I give you all the analogy last time, the primitive men, how they start the fire. They actually hold a stick or something that is sharp, and they rub it against the rock until the first spark come up. If you roll and rub before the spark arise, effort wasted. Then after that, you have to start all over again with that state, which is no longer like activated by the heat through friction. So meditation is the same. If you don't do it consistently with a religious routine daily, with the faith, with the understanding, perseverance, and diligence, the result not easy to arise. But if you really have the faith, the diligence, the understanding, and you do it consistently, it will come. And when it comes, there's a lot of joy. Then the person who go through all this will understand. Like last time, I remember when I was doing it, within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness come. I determined to be aware. Then I do the bowing, everything. Then suddenly, it fall into place. Yeah. Like Bojang, after the Anapanasati transform, then suddenly it become very subtle, very quiet. Then it fall to the heart. Then at the heart, she remember the four support, relax, maintain awareness. That's how she break free. Then she detected the gateway and all those things. Then she just follow the instruction to do the form of meditation. Then a lot of things just happen. Then the sati come, the silent mind come, the stability or awareness, the heedfulness all come. Then she can understand my word after that, because all this teaching and sharing come from that silent mind, the awareness within that develops the ability to observe, to see, to experience all this. So this is what cultivation is all about. You have to move further, deeper, to actually unravel all this so that you yourself who has gone through the cultivation will understand all this. It's very different. It's not the normal thought-based level, superficial Dhamma. Now that one is not penetrative. You cannot develop the transformation. Like I always say, transformation can only come when your daily mindfulness has stabilized. So that step is very important. Like the Avijja Sutta, the step 1, 2, and 3, very easy. Having Dhamma friends, Kayamita, then constantly listening to the true Dhamma or teaching, then having faith in the Triple Gem. But after that is the initial wisdom, Yonisoma Manasikara, followed by the Sati Sampajana, daily mindfulness and clear comprehension. The step 4 and 5 is very important. Most Kayamita are stuck at the 5th. Fourth, I think most of you all can have some form of Yonisoma Manasikara already, depending on your understanding and stability of your mindfulness. Once the step 4 actually comes, then step 5 is very important. Step 5 is Sati Sampajana, means daily mindfulness. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. Whatever you do, you aware, mindful, aware, mindful. That's why the stability of mindfulness need to arise. To do that, your form of meditation must stabilize until your mind enters the, and then only there is the possibility of stabilizing the daily mindfulness, to be heedful in the midst of life, to be aware in the midst of life. That's why step 4 and 5 is very important. Step 4 leading to step 5. So that part you need to actually have faith and persevere, diligent. Then when the daily mindfulness come, the breakthrough come, like Po Cheng Deo, you all can also understand how it can be realized. Even Alicia Deo and Video, they did it. It can be done. Okay? Yeah, PJ. Another 6 minutes.
Okay, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
I will say something on behalf of many kilometers who
sadio.
Are a bit too shy to say.
Sadio.
When they do their meditation, their formal meditation, and they see no improvement, Brother Teo, and they are too embarrassed to share.
Oh, no wonder.
And I feel that at some point, it's good to share.
Yeah,
we may
don't
seem,
need to be shy.
We may seem to be very, how to say, very slow or whatever, but as long as we do not share, we may not even know what we are doing.
Yeah, you will continue
right.
to get stuck
Brother
there. Teo. You will continue to get stuck
but,
there.
Maybe because we are at the same capacity, that's why they can share with me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I hope hearing this, they would not get upset with me lah, and just
won't.
Continue to share.
Yeah, yeah, they
because
won't. They
it's
won't,
from
yeah.
here
no
that we can learn.
Yeah,
yeah, Brother Teo.
True.
Nothing
yes.
to be embarrassed
yeah.
about.
Who is shy? The thought is shy, not you.
Yeah, Brother Teo.
Your nature is beautiful. It's the thought
opinion.
That tell you and condition you that your mind say lah. That is the thought. Forget about it. That's why mind say jakaki in Hokkien is very clear. So no need to be mind say.
Yeah, that's why I'm very thankful to those who, despite not being able to see much progress, they still,
but their faith is there.
Say,
they persevere.
Yes.
Yeah.
About you, a lot of us who stay this in this group, you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
also those who are not around, but they still listen to the recordings.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I can see the views, you know, the recording,
yeah.
the views.
Yeah, the number of viewers.
Yeah, it's quite high, Bert.
Yes.
Like
yes.
The recent Thursday class, in 5 days, I could see it's already 100.
So
that shows that kilometers who are not in the group, not in the Zoom or physical class,
yeah,
they still
they are
listen
listening.
To the
they are
recording.
Listening. Yes.
So, it's very good, but I would appreciate that if they could participate. So at least we can see among ourselves what we have done correctly or not correctly.
Sadhu,
yeah?
very good. Yeah, yeah.
Only in this way can we so-called improve ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if we do not even know what we do wrong, how on earth are we going to? The Buddha can show you the path, but
you
if
have
you
to
get
walk.
misled by certain things,
Correct.
And not knowing that you are not walking on the right way, how are we going to,
to check your progress?
Not only that, receive the Buddha's true teachings.
Ah,
but,
correct, correct.
Yeah.
Sadhu, sadhu, yeah.
So hopefully I hope that more parameters will take heed of that. And please
sadhu.
Join us. Nothing to be embarrassed. A lot of us are still
true. Very good,
struggling
sadhu.
Along.
Sadhu, sadhu,
yeah.
Very good. Thanks for the good sharing.
Ratio, I also would like to say show my appreciation for all those like the Sister Sui, Chin Hao, Po Cheng, and all those who do the short videos. Starting to do it, Ratio, I really realize how difficult it is to pick out the
important points,
and then listening and listening again just to get that thing. Then after listening, so short only.
Do you know Po Cheng did a lot of short video?
Yes.
That's why she can progress. She like to do. She like, and she know all these talks are very beautiful. That's why she can actually come out with that thing. You know, the next one, I think my daughter may be sending out soon. Already sent out my wife one at the retreat one. Oh, that one, holy hell. The direct seeing one. My wife suddenly wake up.
Yeah, that was very good.
Oh yeah, Yun Chan, you heard it, huh? Oh, sadhu, yeah.
Yun Chan meh? Yun Chan can understand Mandarin meh?
Can, why cannot?
She spoke in English.
I spoke in English. Ah, my wife spoke in English.
Oh, my wife spoke in English.
Yeah, you must go and see the video. Very, very well done. That short video, I think Po Cheng did.
I can't remember. I need to check.
Yeah, it's very well done. Very beautiful. That one, the direct seeing on seeing anatta, non-self, the paticca samuppada, all those things. You should go and listen. Short video, very beautiful. And she suddenly put out her hand and volunteer come out. She never do that one. But that day, because something really very clear to her, that's why she did it.
She listens and we are very thankful for that too.
Yeah. Last time you all called her to share, she shouted. But this time I was shocked. The hand come out. I said, I want to share. She just walk out. Very good. Anything else, PJ?
I will end it here. Okay. And sadhu to everybody who have contributed to the short videos.
Thank
you.
Very helpful.
Good night.
Yeah, good night. Sadhu, let us rejoice with the good sharing. My sister Yun Chan and also PJ and Manyon. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then we shall do the closing puja. Let us share merits. So hopefully PJ's sharing and advice, you all should listen to it and don't be shy anymore. Otherwise, not easy to progress. You just report exactly how you do it. Like just now what Yun Chan report was very good. Then Yun Chan should go and listen to it again so that the pointer stand out. Then do it like Po Cheng. Just do it. Follow the instruction and just do. Don't worry about the thought telling you, I cannot own up. I say, forget about it. Must have faith, persevere. Then it will come. Okay? So now we will do the official closing puja chanting. Akasata Chya Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakkantu Lokasasana Eta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siriya idang meñatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang meñatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang meñatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Emena punyam kamena Mame bala samagamo Sattang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sa Okay, you all can pay respect, manipulate the Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Sadhu.